I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the newest episode of Real Wives
in Radio, girl.
But I don't say that because sometimes when people look up, it doesn't show the.
That's a great point.
Right?
Okay, so do we stop saying that?
Yeah, let's stop saying that.
Okay, welcome to a new episode of Real Wives in Radio.
I'm Dorothy.
And I'm Tanya.
And this is going to be a fun episode. We have a special guest on.
Yes, we do.
J to the L-O, Jennifer Lopez. Not like J-Lo.
But we do have a guest here, and her name is actually Jennifer Lopez. So everyone relax, also get excited because it's going to be a good episode.
Yes, we're going to talk to her right after we get into the... Still, Ken-O, calling you out. He doesn't care.
I literally just spoke to him yesterday. Can you please get us that small 2-second production piece?
Right?
We should just make it ourselves.
I know. Okay, we need a voice guy or a voice girl.
Oh, we don't
whatever.
Like me? I just play.
It's a production element. So you know what? You're right. We should just do this on our own.
We should just
right?
do it on our
hashtag
own.
Hashtag who needs a man.
Exactly.
Let's get into our first story of the pop-off, though. It was April Fool's this week, and
yes.
Justin Bieber did a prank on everybody. He posted a picture on social media of an ultrasound with Hailey saying that they are expecting a baby. He even took it one step further and said, I'm not, for all of you who think it's April Fool's, here's a picture of Hailey at the doctor's getting examined.
Yeah, and then, it was a full picture of Hailey.
Yes.
Act like, you know, I don't know what doctors or medical professionals they were. Or
right.
I don't even know if it was a doctor's office. Who knows? But
right.
It looked real.
It did look real. And so now he's apologizing. He is saying there's always people who are going to be offended. Those people also don't take jokes very well. And I am a prankster and it was April Fool's. I didn't mean at all to be insensitive to people who can't have children. So
mm-hmm.
he's saying sorry.
Mm-hmm. I will say it's okay. I meant like I accept his apology I'm saying it's okay. And this is okay. I'm gonna be real about this. I think younger people who don't truly understand how real infertility is
right.
with women all across the world don't understand that something like that can be very insensitive on April Fool's Day.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? There are a ton of other jokes we could be doing, playing, you know, all of that. So I think this is a big lesson for everybody that maybe let's not do that, you know.
Yeah.
I do know some people that have done that, and I don't ever say anything, or I don't get mad at them because they just don't understand. They're not aware. You know, they haven't been exposed to like anyone maybe with
who's gone through that, who's been struggling with
fertility, exactly. But I did see that BuzzFeed whole article on like, you know, we should not be doing this anymore on April Fool's Day. Come on, guys. Like, this is fertility issues are
real
thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Justin Bieber should know better, but, you know, I think he's young too, so.
Yeah, he's just so young.
He's young and a little stupid sometimes.
Oh, man.
So.
He's about to go on a new apology tour.
Exactly.
Ariana Grande is making some headlines because of her new song called Monopoly. She just released it. Take a listen.
I like women and men. Mix the fuck out my cheetah 2020.
Hey.
You'll be straight for life if I gave you my pen.
Okay.
Even though we gave up my 90% for the window.
Right? It's a bop. It's a bop.
It is.
But the reason why she's buzzing is because that line, I like women and I like men. So
yes.
People are saying, girl, are you coming out? Are you bi?
Right.
She hasn't said anything officially, but Victoria Monet, who's on that song with her, commented, she said what she said. Shout out to Nene.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. And Victoria Monet also has come out
as bi last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Being bisexual. And also there's another thing, Dorothy, in the Break Up With Your Girlfriend music video with Ariana Grande. At the end of the video, she leaves with the girl.
Yeah.
So that's another hint. So that's why her fans are like, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah. Like, are you doing this just to get clout, just to get talked about? Or are you really bi? I think that's what people want to know, because if she's just clout chasing, then people are getting pissed.
Well, I also think that it could be not either one of those. It could be something where she just wants to make music for anybody. Everyone. You know, anybody yes. and everyone. Yes. Exactly. So, you know, yeah. I think it could go either way. And if she is bisexual and she doesn't want to come out and say it straight that's her- up, then that's... her prerogative, right?
You do you, sis. Mm-hmm. Kanye is gonna be, surprise, surprise, at Coachella.
We'd like to make an announcement that we just booked another show. We will be doing Sunday service, sunrise, at Coachella.
Sorry, that part was a little bit loud. But Kanye is, he just got added to do his Sunday service, the thing that Kim Kardashian has been tweeting about and okay. posting on her stories everywhere. What is Sunday service?
Please tell me, because I've been watching Kim's, yes. you know, stories and how the whole family does this. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of yes. nice. Like, good for them, you know, that they can do a whole concert every Sunday.
Yeah, so I think it's it's just a way for them to, you know, be spiritual. They normally do it somewhere out in the desert, somewhere far. Or it's kind of started, like, I think, in his studio where he just got a choir to come out and do his songs and do some uplifting words and, you know, to praise God.
And play music.
And play music, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it started out really small and then it's kind of grown and grown and grown and they've started to invite celebrities to come to it. DMX opened it up one weekend.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Like, go ahead, D.
As long as he stays out of trouble,
exactly,
whatever works for him.
Exactly. So, yeah, Kanye just got added to do the Easter Sunday service, which is going to be at 9 a.m. before the festival starts at 11.
Which I'm really curious about because, I mean, if you've been to Coachella, if you're saying this is on Sunday, so yeah. this is already all day Friday, all day Saturday. So one of two things. Either the people that go are still going to be on drugs and awake.
Absolutely.
Okay, one. Or two, like the people that go are not going to have been partying the night before and wake up really early, which I doubt that's going to happen.
Nah.
I think they're just going to keep going all night.
For sure.
Morning,
for sure. And then they're going to have to take the next week off to recover because how can you party 3 days straight like that?
Oh, and people do, Dorothy. People do. All right, well, let's introduce our guest because I'm just so excited that Jennifer Lopez is here. And yes, you heard that right. Jennifer Lopez is here. Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Jennifer Lopez. Jen, I'm going to stop calling you Jennifer
She's
Lopez.
She's calling my
I know.
Name.
I know. I got Jen, Jennifer Lopez.
You get that all the time, I bet.
All the time. I mean, I've grown up with it. It started when I was in high school. It hasn't mm-hmm. ended, and I don't think it ever will. So I've just accepted it as part of my life.
It won't ever end. It won't.
Hey, you could have a worse, like, a celebrity name,
right,
you know?
Right, let me tell you a little bit about what I know about Jen. So I met her in high school, Chula Vista High School, right here in San Diego.
Go Spartans.
Go Spartans, that's right.
CV Pride, man. All day.
We cheered together and I had the pleasure of cheering with Jen and just being her friend. And I was so followed your journey after that because you became a cheer coach and so much more than that. I mean, you have had a real legit serious job. But then after that, I mean, I'm following you on Instagram. You have taken your Instagram to a whole nother level and become a blogger, a fitness and healthy lifestyle blogger, which actually is more than that. It's like makeup and like...
Yeah, I kind of try to encompass just everything that I love, the things that I'm passionate about, and put it all into one place.
But it started as a health and fitness
yes.
blog, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that happen? Because I missed that whole part. Either I don't know if I missed that whole part or you just jumped from like Jennifer Lopez that I knew from high school to like, how many followers do you have on Instagram now? You have thousands and thousands of followers.
No, tens of thousands,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So what happened? How did that, tell us how your fitness and health blog journey began.
So I lost a pretty significant amount of weight. And I was at the point in my life where I was starting to gain a little bit of it back. And I was someone who followed a bunch of other fitness channels on Instagram
Me
and that
too.
Kind of thing. So I would look at these things and be like, man, I want to do that. Like, I want to make an account. But I was so embarrassed about it. Like, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was like, it was very hush-hush on the DL. And I created this Instagram account when I first started. It was working on my fitness.
That's right. I remember that. Okay, I do remember that. Yes. Uh-huh.
And then I just started kind of posting about just being accountable for things. I felt like if I could share what I'm doing with other people, it would help hold me accountable and find another community that's interested in the same types of things that I am. Because I figure on my personal page, all my friends don't care if I went to the gym that day or what I'm eating for lunch. It's just no one really cares. But if I'm looking into that community, I felt like I could find a community of people that were interested in those same things. So I created that account, and I honestly don't really even know how it happened. It just started growing, and then it was growing to the point where companies were contacting me and saying like, hey, we want to send you this stuff, can you talk about it on your account? And I was like, what is life like, how is this happening? But then maybe about, I want to say it's like a year and a half after I started that account, my friend had started a blog, and she was loving it and just finding a way to like put all of her things in one place, like all her recipes could be in this one location where people could go to. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I should do that too. So then I started the blog and eventually changed my Instagram name to match that blog name. But then I titled it Beauty and the Bench Press. Actually, my friend came up with that name, and she'll be really upset if I try and take credit for it. But so, Beauty and the Bench Press, because I wanted to do fitness and I also wanted to do beauty, because makeup is something that I've loved and I get asked about a lot on the Instagram account. So I figured put it all in one place. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so fun. It's been a really cool experience and I've learned a lot.
Okay, wait, hold on. I need to see. Okay, so I'm going to go to the your Instagram account right now. Beauty and the Bench Press. Sis, you got 45,200 followers. Now tell me right now, Dorothy, because this is your first time meeting Jen, right?
This is, yes.
Okay, everything she just explained, did she not just make it seem like she's so humble? Like, no big deal. Like, I don't know, I just did this, I just did that. And now all of a sudden, I have 45,200 followers. Insane.
It's nuts.
It is. And it just keeps growing and growing, I'm sure.
It has its ebbs and flows, but yeah, it does.
Oh my God.
What is it that I guess drives you, and what are people hitting you up with when they're messaging you?
I think a lot of it, my big thing about the whole weight loss is that I always want to be very honest about it, and I try to be as authentic as possible, because I feel like there are a lot of people out there talking about weight loss and fitness, and you can have all the credentials in the world, but I feel like there is a very specific kind of market for people that have been obese and have been binge eaters like I was, and no one really talks about it very openly. So I felt like it was something that I wanted to bring to light, and it's terrifying sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. when I think about how many people I'm sharing random parts of my life with, it kind of starts to freak me out a little bit. But then I'll get a message from somebody who has been a binge eater or who has gone through something similar to what I have, and it makes it all worth it. It's just someone telling me that they can relate to something that I've said, and it's helped them through their own journey that they're going through. It's just something that's really cool to me. And
I bet.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your health journey, about, you know, where you started and how you got here.
So I've always been like a chubby girl. Like, even when I was at my thinnest, I was still what you'd call pretty chubby. But I had kind of ebbs and flows where I was heavier and lighter. And then starting around probably my mid to late 20s is when things got pretty bad. So I stepped on the scale one day and I was like 280 pounds. And I remember just completely freaking out and being like, I'm gonna die if I don't take care of this. Like, it's not, like, not being dramatic, it just is what it is. There's just so many health risks that I'm putting myself at risk for. So I just started to make small little changes. And I think the big thing that, like, I had tried tons of diets before in the past and nothing ever worked, because I think I was doing it out of a place of, I hate my body, I don't wanna look like this anymore. And when it finally came down to it and I did start to make changes, it was because I wanted to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So like, my motivation behind things changed. Mm-hmm. And that's what made the world of difference to my success with it. I just started making small little changes, and it took about a year and a half. And when I say small little changes, I mean like, I used to drink soda. I switched to diet soda and then eventually cut diet soda out of my life altogether. I started paying attention to my portion sizes, how many calories I was eating, just little things like that. And then about a year and a half later, I had lost maybe about 75 pounds.
Wow, that's great.
Wow.
And I think that, I mean, I'm glad that you said what those small little changes are, because, well, you know, you see all of these, you know, new diets that are out there, like paleo, and remember Atkins before then and all that stuff. So it can be intimidating for somebody who wants to lose weight, but then they don't know what that's about.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I think that that's such a great thing to put out there to let people know. It's just a couple little things that you can do throughout your day that can make a big difference in the long run.
Yeah.
Jen, sorry, I just want to ask you something because before we stop talking about this. So when you're talking about your health journey and you're talking about when you got on the scale and you were like, I'm going to die if I don't do something. What was, I want to know what like that defining moment was for you that you were just like, I need to change right now. Like, did a doctor talk to you? Was it something that you put on? Was it like a picture you saw? Because I've been in that situation too. And, you know, being in radio, we're in front of the camera a lot or we're front of pictures. For and sure. Social media and you know and it's without warning a lot of time, right? And I remember I did like some kind of stunt for AJ, you know, when I was younger, and I remember coming home and seeing the video, and I could still get so emotional about it. I remember coming home and seeing that video, and I wasn't like, it wasn't like, for me it just hurt me to see me like that. Like I was just like, I don't like the way I look.
And how you felt.
And how I felt. But at first it was, I don't like the way I look. Now, I know that's not the right reason to start losing weight, but it changed me a little bit. But then, and then years later, and we'll talk about that, I went up and down. But I remember that moment, and I'll never forget it, of thinking, whoa, like, I've gone too far. Like, I need to take control.
Totally. What was yours?
So I remember the exact day, just like you, Tanya. Yeah. It was June 25th, 2012. Mm-hmm. And I had stepped on the scale like I did. Well, so actually, I will say, when I was at my heaviest, I avoided the scale like the plague because ignorance was bliss. It was a lot easier to not know. And I, every now and then, I'd take a little dipstick and step on and see what was going on, maybe once every few months. And this just happened to be that one day that I did it. And I was shocked at the number. But then when I think I was getting dressed or something like that, and I happened to glance at myself in the mirror and looking at my stomach and seeing how not so much that like, oh my God, my stomach's so gross, but I do think the looks is a huge motivator for a lot of people. Yeah. And I think that's okay when you're starting. I think you don't start to realize it's more health related until later down the road.
Yeah.
But I remember I read an article or something about how the worst kind of body fat is like the abdomen fat, like the stuff that's all around your vital organs. And I remember looking in the mirror and being like, dude, like I have to do something. And it just, I don't know, like a switch just flipped in my head. And all of a sudden I was ready. And I won't say that it was like smooth sailing and every day was a success, because it's totally ups and downs, ups and downs. But I think that the first, I started making those small changes, and I didn't notice the first like real successes in terms of like number on the scale changing for maybe like a couple months, because we were in the process of moving to a new place. So there's a lot of just life events that come up that just deter things. But once I started seeing things start to pay off, whether it was I was losing a few pounds here and there, or I was able to exercise a little bit longer than I normally had been, I started becoming more and more motivated, and then things just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. For me, I remember that moment. I think we all had that. But when you brought that up, I went to the doctor, and this was like the biggest that I had ever been, like ever. You know, I was in a relationship. We got stoned a lot. You know, we would make those late night runs to get carne asada fries, and I would down like a whole tray by myself, you know? And the doctor was like, you know, you should watch it, because you're going to give yourself diabetes. Pretty much. Like, you're on the verge of it, you know? And I was like, once maybe like close to 180. Wow. And then I saw a picture of myself, and like you said, you know, like I saw my stomach and I was like, oh my God, I look pregnant, and I'm nowhere near pregnant like at all. And that's what clicked it in me. Like, I need to make those changes like you did.
What's so interesting about that is I never, like, I was like morbidly obese. If you're going by like the little BMI chart, I never had a doctor comment on my weight.
Really?
Which is kind of crazy if you think about it. But I've had a doctor comment on my weight after I had lost weight. And I'm kind of like, dude, if you knew.
If you only knew. Yeah, how far I've come and how hard I've worked.
It was like heartbreaking. I remember just being like, someone punched me. And I was like, and then when I explained, he's like, okay, we'll keep up with that. And I was like,
jeez, come on.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess it just depends what doctor. Because I feel like I've been really high on the scale too for my little 5'2 body, you know, and a doctor has never commented on mine either. And it's almost like,
why? You would think that they would.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Culturally, Asian people, like Vietnamese people, are just straight up like, you're getting fat. I can remember the day my mom was like, oh my God, your butt is so jiggly. You need to start losing weight. And then like another family friend that I, you know, their friend that I grew up that I looked at an uncle as an uncle told me, he was like, whoa, you're fat. And I just remember getting so upset and so hurt by it. But to them, that's just normal. Like, hey, they just tell it like it is. Nobody's feelings gets hurt about it.
Yours.
Except for yours. Yeah. But like growing up in, you know, if what they grew up in Vietnam, that wasn't a big deal to them, you yeah. know? So it's I don't know. It's just so weird. Yeah. I'm surprised that the doctors wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
And my husband's mom is Taiwanese. And when I started to gain weight, like when we were first going out, she was like, you're gaining weight, huh? And I was like,
oh, oh, from the mother-in-law?
Yes.
No.
Speaking of your husband, you guys have been together for how long now?
Oh,
like been together, not married, been together. Because I remember you were dating him when in high school.
Yep. Yeah. It'll be 20 years in September.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Married?
Married for 9. We just celebrated our 9th anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Gosh.
Thank you.
That's so crazy.
That's cool. And how has he been on this entire health and fitness journey with you or not with you? I don't know.
It's been interesting because he's seen me at my fittest and then he's seen me at my biggest. So he's been with me through all the ups and downs, and he's had his own ups and downs too, because we did have those times where we're going out for carne asada fries all the time mm-hmm. and just like every weekend, every night.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Me too.
We've been there.
Okay, let me edit that every night. But he's always been kind of naturally athletic, and for him, like, he looks at a salad and 10 pounds is gone. Mm-hmm. For me, I have to work at it. So he has been, though, the most supportive person. So when I was starting to try to run and I wanted to run a half marathon, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to become a runner, because that's been the one thing that I've never been good at. And I'm like, not the one thing. I mean, there's several things I'm not good at, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been my nemesis. And he was all in. He would come with me to my training sessions. He would run with me when we would make healthy food. He'd do that with me, meal prep with me. Like, he has been the biggest cheerleader I could ever ask for.
Oh, I love that.
To your husband.
That's so cool. JJ's the same way. He's very supportive, and I'm grateful for that, because I think with my personality, I don't know for sure. I don't want to say that I wouldn't, but like, I just don't know that if it would just be so much harder if I did not have that support at home. Like, if, and I know that a lot of people don't, I just don't know how I would do on my own. I hate to say this, but I don't depend on him, but like, I think my triggers or the things that trigger me are so effective, or they hit me so hard that I don't know that I could have like my man at home eating a burrito while I'm eating like the same thing without a tortilla, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So,
and Tanya, watching you through the years, I mean, it totally has, your health journey has totally changed as well.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, mine's gone up and down just like yours, Jen, and I have always thought that I've been chubby. And then things got out of control in my early 20s. I think when I like moved out of my house and maybe started drinking, you know,
turned 21, partying.
You know, those fourth and fifth meals, you know, like all, you know, everything. It's like you have that freedom and the money, and like you just kind of go wild. And I think that's what happened for me at first. And then I went through a really bad breakup, and I didn't know it then, but I guess I've always been an emotional eater. And so when that hit me, it was like even worse. Like it was horrible, and that really affected my health. And then I didn't really get a hold of my health until like years later when we met our mutual friend Jenny Piro. And then, you know, I started little things here and there, you know, gluten-free, you know, I just started learning about better foods and alternatives. And then you know, up and down until I did Metafast. You remember when I did Metafast?
Yeah.
I did Metafast for my wedding. Yeah. Me and my husband did, And that was fine. It worked. It worked for the wedding. You know, I'm not sure I would do that for life, you know, but that was the most weight loss I've ever had. And
that was so restrictive, though.
It was.
I mean, it did do the job.
It did the job.
Damn, I always wanted to be like, girl, eat a sandwich.
I know. And see, it wasn't the right way to lose the weight, but we did it, and we did it for a wedding, and we felt great. But it kicked us in the ass, because after that, of course, that's not something that's sustainable. And not only is it hard after, you know, after you get married, you know, you're just happy and you're in that honeymoon stage, yep. right? On top of that, I was doing something, like I said, that was not sustainable, and everything just kind of bit us in the ass, and we gained all the way back, you know, maybe a little bit more, I would say. And recently, I finally got it together again, Jen, and thanks to your Instagram, you know, you introduced me to Whole30. And I had a coworker of ours, Yvonne, had given me 2 Whole30 books, and they literally sat in my house for months. Like, I mean, I didn't even open them. I was just like, not ready. I think I was just not ready. You have to be ready.
Absolutely.
And not only that, like you said, you have to do it for the right reasons. Getting healthy to lose weight, it shouldn't be the priority, I don't think. Not for everybody. For me, it was like, I need to change my mentality. I need to change, like, just the way I look at food and not be afraid of food. And Whole30 did all of that for me. So I'm grateful to you, Jen. Thank you very much.
That's so
awesome.
But
can you please explain a little bit more about what Whole30 is and how it's worked for you and what you think of it?
And I started the same way as you. My friend that I also met on Instagram, she had been trying to get me to do a Whole30 for like 2 years. And I was just like, I wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pay much attention to it. And then finally, I used to count all of my calories and all my macros.
Which me too.
Macros are your protein, carbs, and fats, in case you don't know. But I counted all of them, and I was getting to the point where I was so burnt out. I was just like having to decide, like, I can't eat that apple because it's 5 carbs over what my daily limit is. Mm. So things just started to get really exhaustive for me, and I needed something else. And then finally I was ready, like, okay, let's check out this Whole30 thing. Let's see how it goes. And what it is, it's basically like a 30-day elimination diet where you take out foods that could be potentially inflammatory to your body, and then you take them out for 30 days, kind of evaluate how you feel, and then after those 30 days, you systematically add them back in so you can determine if they affect you at all, and if you decide you want to keep incorporating them into your diet or not. And I think sometimes Whole30 can get a bad rap because people think it's a diet. Mm-hmm. People think it's done to lose weight, or you're supposed to eat Whole30 forever, but it's truly just supposed to be 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to whatever way is sustainable.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was under the impression that it was just like, because everybody was doing it in January. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is just like, oh, you know, a weight loss thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, you know, like it's just the like catalyst of it. Mm-hmm. So when you're on the Whole30, is there like a limited amount of healthy foods you can be eating? You know, like you said, are you counting your calories and the carb intake and all that stuff?
There's no counting. So that's what was like kind of the rest for me, like the not counting all of my calories and the macros and stuff. They just eliminate certain food groups, and then they tell you to try not to snack during the day, like try to get your fill with like your 3 main meals. But I'm pretty active, and I also, my schedule's kind of all over the place sometimes, and I don't want to force myself to eat breakfast if I'm not hungry at breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I just did my own thing and made sure that if I did have a snack, that it was a Whole30 compliant snack. Mm-hmm. And that I wasn't eating for the sake of eating. Like, yeah. I was eating because I was actually hungry. So it really tries to teach you to listen to your body. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't really learn how to do yet, because everything that I listened to was on an app telling me how yes. much I could eat.
Yes, that's I'm what I was just going to say. That's what
my
I was,
fitness pal.
Yeah, yeah, my fitness pal, yeah. Which I love, and it's been a great tool. Right. And, you know, and it is a great tool for a lot of people. But that's also a thing, too, because, okay, you grow up eating, okay, whatever. Then you're your highest weight or your heaviest weight. And then, okay, then you lose the weight, and then you start using tools like MyFitnessPal where you start counting everything, right?
Yeah.
And calories and macros, like you said. And then when you get to Whole30 and they're like, there's no counting, I'm going to be real with you, Jen. Like, that was a little bit of a mind fuck for me, because I was so used to, when you lose weight, you got to count everything. You got to journal everything. Yep. You got to, which it serves its purpose, I think, like to know exactly what you're putting in your body, but it was getting excessive. So when you get to Whole30 and you're just like, wait, I don't have to count that. I don't have to. It was hard. It was a little hard for me. I felt a little out of control.
Uh-huh. No, I agree.
At first. And then it all kind of just wrapped up in those 30 days. Like, I totally got it. It was such a big lesson that, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about food freedom. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really opening the door to what food freedom
is. What
is
food freedom?
So food freedom, if correct me if I'm wrong, because you probably know more than I do, it's just basically exactly what it sounds like, when you can eat without limits, or
letting food control you.
Not letting it control you, and intuitive eating as well, right? Mm-hmm. And that is something that I've learned with Whole30, and I'm so grateful for. And I'm listening to my body more, like you said. Like, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat right now. If I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat, or I'm not going to eat the whole thing. You know, like, I've really learned a lot with Whole30, and I'm so grateful.
You've done a great job with it, too, Tons.
I know.
And you could see it physically as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking hella snatched, girl.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. I mean, the weight loss has come with Whole30, and it's not why I did it. I was, of course, wanting to lose weight, but I knew that that would come if I just changed my eating habits. And yeah, I've lost 20 pounds, which is not something I don't know that I've ever done.
That's great.
It is a lot of weight for me, and I can't believe I was very heavy when I started, though. So,
but how do you feel, though? Like, how, at the end of the Whole30, how did you feel?
I felt amazing, and I still feel amazing. I feel not only like good inside, but mentally, like, wow, like, I really did this, you know. And I ate potatoes, you know. And I know that sounds weird, but in Whole30 you're allowed to have potatoes, and I've just been like, I feel like I've been trained for so many years, like, to, you know, the
carbs,
like, you know, just carb counting. And obviously potatoes are higher in carbs, but you are allowed to have potatoes in Whole30 because they're just natural and have no sugar in them. Yep. And you know
what, so aren't you allowed to have in Whole30?
There is a list of things, but it's mainly no sugar, no
alcohol, no dairy, no legumes, grains. So you can't have like rice, but you can have the potatoes. So it's not like a carb base, but it's just anything that could be potentially inflammatory. Oh.
And thank God, because the potatoes really saved me. Not only that, okay, for real though, I think the biggest thing for me, for us in our household for sure, was to remove sugar. Like,
it's in everything.
Sugar. It's literally in everything. And I can only imagine, like, back then it was probably in it even more. Now we can find things with no sugar, because with Whole30 you can have fruit, so you can have natural sugar.
Right? Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, and that saved me too.
Yeah,
you know, that I can have fruit, you know, if I had to, or if there's like a sauce and it's sweetened, it's usually sweetened with dates or something. Exactly.
Oh, so you get your sugar fix through natural ways.
If you need
fruit.
To. Yeah. There's a whole nother part of Whole32 where you're not supposed to really, the whole point is to not substitute like
one sugar for another.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Because your body doesn't know the difference. It just knows it's getting something sweet. It doesn't know like it's a natural source of sugar versus just like regular ass sugar.
Yeah. There are a lot of like a lot of little things. I recommend reading any of the Whole30 books to really understand what Whole30 is and to get the full experience and lesson, because all those little things they definitely helped, you know, I can have real brownies, so I'm going to make brownies with the stuff that I can. Like, that's not the point. The point is to, what do they call it? When your sugar.
Oh, sex with your pants on?
Oh, sex with your pants on. Yeah. Can you explain what sex with your pants on
Swipo?
Is?
It's basically having like a Whole30 treat, like substituting real Duncan Hines brownies and making your own Whole30 version. Like, it's sex. It's like, it's the same thing, but it would feel better if you just eat the real thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're not supposed to do that, but it's just been great. The 30 days were great, and then after that, I've continued more so of like a Whole30 like lifestyle here and there. Mm-hmm. Now I'm more so, if I'm out at a restaurant and I want to have a salad and it has cheese, because you're not allowed to have dairy on Whole30, then I have the cheese, like, right, you know. Or if I don't feel like having the cheese, I don't have the cheese.
It's your
like
food
whatever.
Freedom.
If my food freedom and whatever I feel like in that moment, I just like you too. I'm so glad you said this, because I didn't really know this about you. I just kind of openly admitted to myself and to my husband that we were binge eaters. And that is such a big thing that not a lot of people talk about, Jen. Like, it is insane. Like, you don't need to binge eating. I feel like a lot of people won't identify themselves as binge eaters because they maybe think that it's like extreme.
It's shameful or something.
Not even shameful, but like, you know,
like, you're not eating like five pizzas in
like
one
five
sitting.
Exactly. But binge eating can also be like going to the taco shop and ordering three roll tacos for yourself, a whole huge burrito, because let's be real, those burritos are huge, you know, and like a dessert or something. You know what I mean? Like, that can also be binge eating. Like, one person does not need all of that food. And I did that my entire life. Mm-hmm. My entire life. And it was normal. And it's not normal. That's not normal, you know, and we shouldn't be doing that.
And it's so true. I did not identify myself as a binge eater until, gosh, maybe until like a couple years into like losing weight. And then I started realizing like, man, like the way that I used to eat, not only that, I used to like, my friend and I did this whole episode on binge eating and it got all emotional because we were just like throwing all these things out that you don't normally talk about. Like it's this like taboo thing that people don't want to talk about. But like I would hide food from my husband.
Yeah.
So I would go to class and then I'd stop and get like fast food on the way home. I'd gobble it up in the car, destroy the evidence, and then get home and he'd be like, okay, like we're gonna make dinner. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like didn't tell him.
Never
like,
mentioned it.
No.
Mm-hmm. I've totally done that. Yeah. I've totally have done that.
But like exactly. But thinking back now, like that's not something we should be doing, right? And it was something that I did every day, but I did it enough for it to be very bad.
Yeah.
And it did. It got me into trouble, you know, with my health. It's just ridiculous. But like you said, not a lot of people talk about it. And I'm so glad that you did talk about it. And I'm glad that more people are talking about it because more people can identify as binge eaters and fix the problem, you know?
And I couldn't tell you why I was doing it, to be completely honest. I still don't know. Obviously, there was something missing that I was trying to, like, fill some void. I wasn't hungry when I was doing it, so I know that it definitely wasn't anything related to hunger cues, but
You just wanted the taste of it, maybe. I have to be honest, because right now I'm, like, you know, I'm pregnant, and I'm finding myself struggling with maintaining eating healthy and indulging. Mm-hmm. Like, what's okay to be like, oh, well, I'm pregnant, I can eat that. But then it's like, oh, what's too far? Mm. You know? And I feel like right now, so far, I'm halfway through my pregnancy and I've gained 20 pounds. And I'm like, is that too much? Is that, like, you know, they say from your halfway point from then on, you're supposed to gain a healthy amount of weight is a pound a week. So I still have 20 more weeks to go. Like, I don't know. These are like just issues that I've been feeling the past couple of days, you know? And it's like I didn't really, you know, I didn't really eat sweets. I liked sweets, but then when I got pregnant, I was like, yeah, I'm craving sweets. I want to eat all the sweets. So I don't know. I'm having that trouble right now, honestly.
That's hard too, Dorothy, because you're going through something that you've never gone through with your body, right?
Right.
So you don't know. It's like one thing for me and Jen, like we're practicing this like healthy lifestyle. We're practicing this every day. We're learning our body more and more every day and what works for us and what doesn't. And like, you are with child.
Your body's constantly changing.
You know, like how do you know, you know?
And that's where I feel like I'm struggling because, you know, I'll be like so hungry. I normally need to have a snack like around 3 o'clock because my body gets hungry. So I've been trying to pack like, you know, nuts to come with me. But, you know, it's so easy to be like, oh, dude, those McDonald's fries smell so good.
And I'm sure also like when you're pregnant, like you do kind of like in the back of your mind, I'm like, but I'm pregnant. You know,
exactly.
Like so easy to do that.
Exactly.
So easy to do that.
Exactly.
Like when we go on vacation or when we're celebrating or when we're mourning, like it's so easy for us to give that excuse. Yeah. Like, I'm going through something, but I'm, you know,
exactly.
I'm not saying that like you're not right for eating that, but it's very easy to do that.
But
you know,
I feel
right
like
or wrong.
I I'm on the cusp of going down a slippery slope right now.
I think you're fine. I think you're being hard on yourself.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm not you but
you know, I just don't want, like, I want to be at a healthy weight for the baby.
Of course.
You know, I don't want to like have like struggles and issues. And, you know, I've heard, you know, eating right and then exercise. I need to exercise more, you know. Oh, I that's one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, yeah.
The Peloton, because I just got one. My husband got me one for, like,
don't
Christmas and all of
get her started. Get her started.
Please, because that's something that you know, I'm glad he got because it's easier for me to just work out at home now. You know, when I'm feeling sluggish or whatever, I'm like, I need to go get a quick workout. I can hop on the bike. But I'm, like, a brand new user to it.
I am obsessed.
I know. I see you. I see you on the gram. I'm like, oh, she's on that bike again. And
yeah.
I'm so jealous.
I love it. And it's funny because I never used to like typical spin classes. I'd go and I'd be like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about this damn bike, but I am all about it. And they got it in my apartment complex gym. So luckily for me, I didn't have to pay for it.
Nice.
They're super expensive.
Yeah.
But I told George, I was like, okay, if we ever move, the first purchase I'm making is a Peloton bike.
Really?
I love it so, so much. It's just, I like the fact that there's so much variety with it. And I'm someone who is very, very picky about my music.
Yes.
Like, I cannot work out to something that I'm not, like, totally into. And I like that I can check out the playlist before I start, decide if I want to do it. There's, like, all the way from a 10-minute warm-up to, like, 60-minute workouts. You can choose the instructors you like. I basically just want to work for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear us, Peloton?
Right?
You hear us?
And I, not only do they offer spin classes, but they do, like, yoga classes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Or like boot camp class. I haven't done any of those classes yet.
I've done the treadmill classes, uh-huh. And then I've done the yoga. And I don't have the Peloton tread, but you can also do the Peloton spin classes on any regular spin bike too. I haven't had that experience just because the bike's actually there. But I've used my phone to do like the treadmill classes, and I like it because sometimes when I'm running, like, I need that extra little motivation. And one of the instructors on there, Robin, I don't know if you've taken a class with her yet.
I haven't taken Robin yet.
She's intense. Like, you feel like you would rather die on that treadmill than, like, disappoint her in some way. She's like... she's so motivational. But, like, and as soon as I'm ready to, like, turn down the resistance, she's like, put it back. Put it back.
Oh, really? It's like, how do you see me?
wait. Question, though, because I think it was on one of your posts or maybe your Instagram story, Jen, that I saw that somebody shouted you out in a class.
So
what are those?
They have on-demand library of classes.
Okay.
So every time they do a live class in their New York studio, and then once they do the live class, it goes to the on-demand library. So
Dorothy.
I know. I was like, man, I'm like 500 in this list of 1,000.
What? Okay.
I suck so bad.
But the other cool thing is that you can bookmark all these classes. Yeah. They do like theme rides. Like I took like a Greatest Showman ride, and there was like a Women's History ride.
Oh,
like,
I did that one too.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
But when you take a live ride, if you happen to take a live ride during one of your milestones, so I'm such a Peloton geek that I like specifically planned out like when I was going to hit my 100th ride so it could be like a live ride. And it was a live ride, and then he tells you like, you know, congrats on hitting 100 rides.
That's
and
I was so
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Who are your favorite instructors?
Cody, Alex, and
I
Robin.
I love Cody.
Oh my God, Cody is amazing.
Cody is the sassiest gay guy ever, and I love him.
Oh, and he tells you
what
to do.
He's so good. He's like, live your life, bitch. Get it. I'm like, yes. Okay, Cody.
Oh, he's doing like things with arms, like squeeze those titties, girl.
yes.
He's
like one of my favorites. I took Emma's class recently, and she's pretty good too. I like Alex. I did not like Dennis.
I haven't taken
him. He's like,
class.
Don't take him. You won't enjoy him. If you like Cody, you won't like Dennis.
She's like all monotone.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Well, JJ, did you hear that? Okay. I need a Peloton.
Yeah.
But we don't have any room in our house for that. So
Hit me up, Tanya. You can come to my gym with you.
Also, come over to my house.
The Y that I'm going to, they're putting in Peloton bikes in a couple of weeks. So I'm excited. I know.
And I really hope that they don't lose this lawsuit with the music and all the.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that.
I don't know what's going on.
I didn't follow that, but I saw the headline.
Yeah, that the Peloton was getting sued for using music that they didn't get the copyright for,
it was
or
something
like that.
About, like, and I'm not super educated on it, so take this with a grain of salt, but it was something about like they did have licenses for them, but not in the way that it was being used, like to be taped through video.
Oh.
Something about that. But what they did, because one day I logged on to see my bookmarks, and I usually have like 130 classes bookmarked, and I was like, I only have 60. Where do they all go?
Oh, they deleted them.
They purged them during the lawsuit because they said, you know, just in case, to be on the safe side, where they sent an email to everyone saying they're taking them out. But yeah.
Damn.
But new classes are, I mean, there's still 60 in my like my bookmark library.
That's true. And they do break it up by genre too. So I feel like I always go, you know, the hip hop rides or the Y2K pop rides.
Yep. This sounds like fun.
It is. Like you can choose your duration.
Major FOMO right now. Okay, I'm just going to go outside. You guys go ahead and finish the podcast, okay? I'm just playing.
Yeah,
that's
it's
cool.
Great.
Something else I wanted to talk about, Jen, is something that I feel like I've not struggled with, but I'm always thinking about is, you know, once you become kind of somewhat educated with food and fitness and how, this journey that you're on, how do you deal with family? Because it's a whole nother thing when you are educated and you see results and you know what's right and you know what's wrong mostly. And you try to tell family, and we both are, well, I'm Mexican. You're Mexican. No, you're Peruvian. Yeah. And I don't know how it is with your family, but for my family, it's like, you know, we celebrate and we eat all the foods, you know, all the foods, you know, it doesn't matter what. I feel like we're all emotional eaters. You know, it's like if there's something good happening, if there's something bad happening, it's food, 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 food. Food is for everything, you know, and it's insulting if you don't eat it. And it's been really hard.
Even if you don't take two plates. You know,
two plates or any of that, you know. And ever since my wedding, like, it's been a struggle. Like, oh no, I'm not gonna have tortilla. Like, what? You're not gonna have tortilla? Like, are you crazy? It's like, it's always a thing, you know. And then when you try to tell them, like, oh no, I'm not eating that because, you know, it's not good for you, or oh, it has too much sugar, or oh, it has too many carbs or whatever, then you get the look like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, oh, you're so much better than me, you know. It's just such a struggle of like trying to educate my family as well and wanting them to be healthy and have long lives and to join me, you know. It's such a struggle because a lot of the times I'm rejected, you know, or they're not ready. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Well, and it can be so difficult because I think when people kind of give you those looks like, oh, fine, like, go ahead and be healthy, it says more about how they're feeling about their choices than about yours. And it does become difficult. And sometimes you don't want to explain why you're not eating something. You make something up like, oh, you know, I'm just not hungry right now. Or I ate before I got here, so I started doing things like that. But my situation's a little different because my family is tiny. I mean, I have my mom and my dad and then my sister who lives in Minnesota. So it's that's it. We don't have a ton of like these crazy family get togethers where there's a lot of food around, just like during like the typical holiday type of thing. And I grew up watching my mom go on diet after diet after diet. Mm-hmm. So she did Atkins a ton. She was always on Weight Watchers. And she also did like the NutriFast thing where they deliver like the food to your house.
Yeah.
So she always did things like that. And her mentality was always like, I need low fat, low calorie, like that kind of thing, which is so opposite of like what I learned with Whole30. And I do think there is some room, I will say, for like calorie control. Like at the end of the day, like calories are important. If you overeat on calories, you will gain weight. That's just like basic science. Yeah. But not all calories are created equal in what they do to your health. So just this past January, my mom ended up doing a Whole30.
Right,
so
I saw that.
I talked to her about it in December, and she was basically telling me that she was feeling like she was at this point where she was tired of being overweight. She wanted to do something different. And I said, why don't you focus on not losing weight and just focus on eating a little healthier and learning a little bit more about how foods affect you? She was also complaining that she had a lot of like bloating issues. Mm-hmm. So I was like, perfect. Why don't you try a Whole30? And this was, I had already done two by then. So I just kind of gave her all the resources that I had, and she did such a good job. And one of the things Whole30 tells you not to do is they tell you not to weigh yourself for those 30 days. Mm-hmm. Because if you weigh yourself halfway through and you've lost a ton, you're like, cool, I can lax it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you haven't lost hardly anything, you're pissed about it. And then you're like, forget it. I don't want to do this. So she stayed off the scale. And I remember when she was done, she said, I only lost 6 pounds. She's like, but I'm sleeping better. I don't have the bloating issues. I have more energy during the day. So
that's great.
It was just so awesome. She did such a good job. My dad is like, not about that life. Like my dad is like addicted to his beer and his bread, and he's not giving it up. But he was very supportive with her. He just ate whatever she made and then also ate his own thing. But she did a really good job. So I haven't had to deal with it as much because my family situation is so tight.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Well, and you know, you just mentioned about you watching your mom growing up doing diet to diet to diet. Like, that's something I'm concerned about, like with my nieces, like, you know, their relationship, how our relationship with food affects their relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want my niece, who's 12 right now, to grow up thinking like, oh, well, I'm getting too fat. I need to be on a diet. I need to be on a diet. Like, I think that that's a big conversation that we need to have with our little girls in our lives.
That's hard.
You know?
That's hard. For me, how do you explain that you need to watch what you eat, but also not give them like a complex?
Exactly.
You know?
Like, exactly. Like, where do you draw that line? How do you navigate that?
I think if you focus on the nutritional value of food and put it on like, this is good for your body versus like, this is bad for your body.
Okay.
Focusing on the things that are positive, I think that's helpful. I know in preschool, one of the things that we teach.
Right. What is your real job? Or I don't want to say your real job, but like your
9 to 5.
Nine to five.
I'm a coordinator of a preschool program.
Oh, okay.
So my background is as a school psychologist, working with students identifying for like disabilities and special ed. So now I work with preschool, and one of the things that we teach when they do their like healthy eating unit, it's like all the time foods or sometime foods. And I think that's kind of a cool way to look at it.
Oh, okay.
So that the kids know like these aren't foods that are off limits. Like it's okay to have something like cake every now and then, but do we have them all the time or do we have them sometimes?
Yeah.
Like just kind of teaching them what are the good things that you should be doing for your body versus focusing on like don't eat that, don't eat that.
I need to remember that.
Yeah.
As a 33-year-old.
Exactly. What are my all-the-time foods and what are my sometimes foods?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I love that. And yeah, those are things that I always think about too, especially me, like constantly going through like all these like health, different health journeys and what's right for me and what's wrong for me and all this stuff. Like I think about that too whenever I have kids. How will I teach them, you know? Because growing up, I'm not sure I was taught how to eat healthy. Right. I was just taught, you better eat whatever's on your plate because you don't know if tomorrow we're going to have more food, you know? Like, that's really what it was, you know? And then fast food was a big deal, you know, growing up, too. It was convenient for my mom, and that's why it became such an everyday part of my diet, you know?
And growing up, I don't think I ever heard any woman in my family say something positive about their body. Like I never heard anyone talk about how strong it was or how they were able to run this many miles or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It was always like something that needed to be fixed. It was always something that needed to be changed. And I'm not having kids. George and I are just, you know, we enjoy our
doing
no
your
kid
thing.
Life.
Yeah.
But that's something that I felt like, God, if I ever had a kid, that's something I would really, really want to hit home with them.
Yeah.
Like all the things that physical things that your body is capable of and how it works all day, every day to keep you alive and all the amazing things that it does versus that focus on like, oh, well, my hips are too big for this or my stomach's too big for that or just that the way that that message we send to you.
Yeah, that negativity. I like that. Let's change our body positivity, you guys. Let's make it super positive. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, everything we say should be positive. Thank you, Jen.
I know,
thank you.
We're learning so much from you.
Oh, it's so good. I love that. What are your thoughts on keto? Because it's so big right now.
I did a stint of keto and I'm stupid. And I tried, this is when I was doing a bunch of different things all at one time. So I had tried keto out maybe for 4 months. And then at the same time, I was also doing intermittent fasting.
Okay.
So I was like trying to focus on too many things at once. And I got so overwhelmed and burnt out on everything. But I don't think keto, I don't demonize it. I don't think it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't something for me that was sustainable because I like my carbs and I'm also very active. And I felt the difference when I wasn't eating carbs and then trying to do my workouts versus when I would add some of those back in. I think carbs are important for your body and your brain and all your bodily functions. And I do see how when I stopped, like when I stayed to like 20 grams of carbs day net, I lost weight and I lost it quickly. But then as soon as I had carbs, it's like
bounces back.
Right. Yeah.
So what is keto exactly? Is that's cutting out carbs?
So I'm not an expert on keto, but it's typically keeping your carbs anywhere like in the 20 to 25 lower than that per day. And I usually they'll subtract like the dietary fiber
from the carbs. Yeah.
Yes.
To get the net carbs. So if like something has 8 grams of carbs and 4 grams of fiber, it really has four net carbs.
Now we're gonna do math into this.
Yeah.
Come on.
it's really not that hard. I've tried keto for a while too, and it was I'll say to this day it was the easiest thing I've ever done because you can have. Well, you can't. There are ways to do it, but you can have cheese and you can have dairy and you can have like full fat stuff, which you should be eating full fat stuff, but minimal carbs. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with eating meat and cheese and I'll be good.
Yeah.
But it does not make me feel my best. It was easy for me to do and to lose that weight, but I felt like dairy is a big one for me. And that's something I learned in Whole 30 that it is like very, it's not good for my body. And so I would eat too much of it, you know, and then it will send me on another way. Like it's a gateway to like, oh, okay, well now I need to have bread or I don't know. It was not good for me, but I've seen it work for many people.
Yeah, and I have friends that have done keto and their whole journey has been about keto and they love it and that's great. It works for them. Like keep doing it. And I think there are some people that do kind of the way people do Whole 30 to lose weight. I think there are people that do keto not in the best way, where they are just eating basically like bunless hamburgers, cheeseburgers at all times.
yeah.
Because you still got to get your nutrients in, right? And that kind of thing. But
that's something
it's like going vegetarian and only eating cheese.
exactly.
But like you, Donnie, it just wasn't for me. It was easy. I lost weight, but it was not something that I could see myself doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I felt better when I did have some carbs. You know, like my body just felt better. My body worked better. My body flowed better. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some carbs are good for me, you know, not no carbs. And no dairy is good for me, too.
I learned that as well.
Yeah, minimal dairy. Yeah. Well, that's good. I had to pick your brain on that because it's blown up so much, keto. And a lot of people are talking about it right now. And just some people are against it. Some people are totally for it. And some people are in between. And that's exactly where I'm at, too.
Yep.
Last question for you. Go-to recipe. Favorite go-to recipe.
I would have to say either burrito bowl or taco salad. Ooh. Because they're the easiest things for me to whip up, especially when I'm doing meal prep, because meal prep has been a big part of my whole weight loss journey.
Yeah.
But those are the things that I never get tired of. Like, I mean, you give me avocado and salsa and like taco meat and some lettuce. Like, I'm all about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
We do that a lot in the house, too. You meal prep every Sunday? Try to?
Yeah, we try to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's hard. Yeah, that's very hard to do.
It is.
Oh,
it's
very
time-consuming.
You know what else? Something. Okay, I love Whole30. I love it all the way, everything about it. The one thing I hate about it?
The dishes.
What do you mean?
Oh, gosh. Jen, yes.
Wait, what
this
do you
is the
mean?
Only... Because you can't really, if you're doing the whole 30 within those 30 days, like you're not eating out, you know?
Yeah.
So your breakfast, lunch, dinner, possibly snacks, meal prep, all of that is just dishes on dishes on dishes on dishes on Tupperware on dishes on Tupperware on dishes.
That's true.
It never ends. And I don't have a dishwasher, okay?
Oh, and you're hand washing them dishes.
Every day. Oh. You know, it's so much.
And now there's more things you can eat like out of a package. Like Walmart now has like Whole30 compliant meals.
I've seen
that
those,
kind of
yeah.
thing. But no, yeah, it's a lot. You're cooking everything at home and
everything. Pots and pans. It's just like some days I'm just like, we're really good about washing our dishes like every day, every night.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, just leave them there. I'll get to them tomorrow if I want. Okay? Like, I'm tired of the dishes. I had to say that.
I will agree with you there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for filling me on that. Jen, thank you so much for being here
yes.
and with us and
being
so open and honest with your health and fitness journey. I know it's not easy to do that. You know, I mean, I didn't even talk about everything right now. And I felt like very vulnerable talking about that, you know,
absolutely.
It's just, there is a lot of shame in talking about it, you know,
right.
And there shouldn't be because it's real. And
everybody goes through it.
Everyone goes through it. Yeah. Everyone goes through it in some way or another. So,
yeah, thank you for being on. And then you said your podcast, let's give that a plug. Where else can people listen to you?
The podcast is called A Little Salty. Because of the reason I mentioned before, we just felt like there weren't a ton of women that had those same experiences that we're sharing on that podcast platform. A lot of women that were sharing about health and fitness were women who grew up not having those same weight struggles. And so we wanted to be kind of the voice for the women that do.
I love Ooh. That. And then your website is Beauty and Bench Press.
Beauty and the Bench Press.
Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Bench Press. And that's also where you can find her on Instagram with her 40 something thousand followers. Let's just give her one more follower. Why not?
Tell them to follow us. Shoot.
Right?
You can find me at Dorothy on Air.
And you can find me at I'm Tanya Gonzalez on Instagram. And listen to Dorothy every day, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Kixie 96.5.
You can hear Tanya on John and Tammy's Morning Show on 103.7 KSON.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.